Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines with you today, February the 16th, 2021. Welcome, everyone, and I hope you're doing well. This has been an interesting 24 hours, at least for me. We have had yet another press conference and the announcement that we have an extension to the national pause. For some of us, this was expected considering the numbers that we had seen in the COVID cases that have been reported on a daily basis, even though we recognize that these cases were not necessarily just for one day. To speak very personally, I remember that night, I can't remember when it was, but last week, when 80-something cases were announced. And I really did not sleep very well that night. I was very troubled by this and concerned that we were in a very serious and dangerous place. I also watched with, I guess, some sadness, the appeals that came from Dr. Ford over the weekend. And I saw a video yesterday as well from a doctor, Dr. Lewis, I believe her name is, who really spoke from the heart, a very emotional plea to Barbadians to do better and ensure that we help to keep each other safe, that we protect those who are working very hard on the front lines and their families. It is a very difficult time for all of those who are involved on the front lines, as well for all of us, to be very honest. Those who are working at Harrison's Point, at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, in the polyclinics, those who are conducting surveys, distributing care packages, so not just the Barbados Defense Force, but the other organizations that have been chipping in, our public sector, certainly people who are working in some of these areas are very stretched right now. Our politicians, the cabinet members, they are working hard, I'm sure, and I hope and I believe that they're putting their best efforts forward. I really appreciate all of this, and I wish them continued strength and perseverance. That said, there's some other things that I would like to note. I think that although we've heard that this is not an issue that is political, nor is it one that should be politicized, I would really like to refute that and to say that this is a political issue. It is a health issue, but it is a political issue. And I say this because the ways in which this has been handled have been political. And I don't mean political, BLP, DLP, any other party. I mean political in the true sense of politics. It has to do with interest competition and decision-making and the ways in which those who hold power make particular choices. And there are certain choices that have been made in Barbados that perhaps are also culpable in us being where we are right now. So I know that the Prime Minister did sound quite annoyed yesterday, understandably so, about the actions of Barbadians, going to the supermarket too often, bunching up, disregarding some of the protocols. We are at fault for these things. Truth. But also true is that policy decisions have a significant role to play in this. The fact that we have this backlog in the labs, the Bestos Santos lab, has a lot to do with the fact that there were a lot of people that needed tests because, well, we are being asked today to stand home, don't go to the supermarket, don't bunch up under one another, you don't have to go to the supermarket every day, stay indoors. People were being told, leave your homes, get on a plane, come to sunny Barbados, spend 3 to 5 days in quarantine and enjoy yourself on your vacation. That was also a policy choice that I understand. I understand that we have economic imperatives to balance with others, but it is part of what I believe has placed us here as well. So there, we know that we are where we are right now, and we know we have particular things that we need to do, but let us not act as if this is not a political situation and it is not a situation in which we all have had our parts to play in this. It is not just about bad behaved Bajans going to a bus crawl or going up under the grandmother and the friends. It is also about other significant decisions. And I am actually happy with the choice that has been made at this point. I was a little bit fearful that we would have had a reopening in response to the interests from the private sector. And I know it was a very tough call to make. I'm glad it was a call that was made. I want to just say another thing, and that is the West Indies have beaten Bangladesh. This fills me with some pleasure and some joy. And I know it seems off topic, right? But here's why I bring it up. Before the West Indies won this test series, people were cursing the West Indies cricket team. They can't beat Bangladesh in one days. They have not been performing in the way that we want them to perform. And these criticisms came not because we support Bangladesh, but because we want the West Indies to be better and to win. And the same ways in which we criticize the team that we love, I love, we criticize our government, not because we are the opposition, not because, as I've heard people say to me, I am vying for Viola De Pisa's job, which I'm not, right? Or leader of the opposition, but because we want to do better. So I hope that when people do make criticisms, they're not always viewed as partisan, although sometimes they are, and that they're taken in the spirit in which they're given. So I have said quite a bit right here. I think we should go to the phone lines. The numbers to call, for those of you who wish to call, 434-1790, and for the WhatsApp, 266-4862. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Pleasant. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm calling to thank the person that found my national ID card on the Bayfield 1 o'clock bus last Wednesday and returned it to my workplace, housekeeping department, QEH. Thanking them very much. And also, I would like to send condolences out to the family of the loved one we lost from the hospital and to all those who have lost their loved ones through COVID-19 and give it that they will get strife. I know it's hard. We lose someone in that way.
Yes, thank you for that. And this news, I really want to share that sentiment and offer my condolences as well. This news that a child has died as a result of COVID-19 is very sad. And it also is a wake-up call to all of us that anybody can really succumb to this disease.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And I offer the family condolences and all of those who have been affected in this negative way by COVID-19. I pray that y'all will be able to do your best and to get through this time. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Let's take another. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, but I am sorry for all the lives lost, but the news of that child dying, I was that. And I'm a mind it on Christ. I don't. I was a saint preparing breakfast, and when I heard about that, water came to my eyes. I then to rub salt into the room, the doctor that called and made that plea. And I hope that that extract will be played over and over again, because to me, that's the most passionate plea. And everything she said in there was true. Mm-hmm. I had told, they had a conversation with Dennis on the radio on the program. And they said that those people who are not adhering to the wearing of face masks and all other things, when they are caught, they should be severely punished. Not necessarily thrown in jail, because when they're going there, there's an added burden to already stressed financial situation. If they can't pay the fine, they should be made to work. Right? Then it said not in a demeaning way about forced labor. But I don't say it as forced labor.
Community service.
Yes. And I talk about keeping the zarat and I talk about we have a problem with mosquitoes, debushing, working land, something that the whole populace would be could benefit from. I heard the Prime Minister yesterday and I heard the emotion in her voice. I heard it. And I also relate to that all the political jargon, including myself, instead of using politics in this, they be joining forces. I ain't hear a brother using politics. I ain't hear an athlete using politics. And when I heard my minister say that she gave care packages for the bulk of opposition leaders, what might be the official opposition, they are all opposed to the government. Mm-hmm. I want people to know that basic time that we have to come together. If we want to attack each other politically, leave it and then this thing pass. But for what's going on right now, it can't get away. As long as you got idiots walking about the place without masks, because that's what they are, a whole bunch of idiots. They should not be allowed to put a nation's well-being at risk. It should not be allowed. And they want the Prime Minister to get tougher.
Really. It should not be allowed for
people to walk about the place. And they go say the same thing over and over and over again about the wearing of face masks.
Yeah.
We don't see what's going on. We don't read newspapers. We don't watch television. We don't see what's going on in other countries. We are not immune. We are part of the world, part of the universe. Mm-hmm. Something has to be done to these kind of people. You can't keep on talking. Hit them hard. They don't care how you hit them. Even if it's
me. Well, I think we have to do both. We have to keep on talking, but if that's not working, there is some kind of repercussion that is required.
No. I it really hurts me when I hear a child lose his life. I heard Barmali said in an interview, and I agree with him. All children are innocent. All children should be happy. I hate to see a child, whether it's COVID or not, going through any kind of hardship. And you know why a child goes through hardship? Because ignorant people, adults, when they should be making the way easy for them to make it hard.
But do you know that I had heard that a child died in Barbados from COVID-19 since yesterday? And I actually saw this in the news in Trinidad and Tobago. And apparently there was a press conference with the Ministry of Health yesterday in Trinidad and Tobago. And in this press conference, one of the doctors, a pediatrician, was talking about the risks of COVID-19 to children. And the doctor noted that, in fact, a child had succumbed in Barbados, so that there was a need for people to be on their guard. And I read this and I thought, well, maybe when we had this press conference yesterday, that this was part of what was going to be covered, and it was not brought up. So I really assumed that this was perhaps some misinformation or inaccuracy. And I saw another report out of Trinidad and Tobago yesterday evening indicating the same, that a child had died in Barbados. And I was, again, a little confused because it was not reported in Barbados. And then I heard the official news this morning that provided this confirmation, very sad confirmation as well. There are some questions I have about how this information could be in Trinidad and Tobago before it is in Barbados. But whatever the case, it is very, very disheartening.
No, you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I myself used to be a kind of critical of race at the time. I said, but the Prime Minister got to be up front all the time, talking about, you know what? I saw on my television last night what she had to be. You can imagine the Minister of Health giving a press conference or a press convocation, and this is how he can start his address. I am happy to blah, 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 blah. Are a woman day? A frontline worker? And that's what he's saying? He's happy to do that? When the Prime Minister came on, the first thing she did is extend sympathy to that lady's family. And at the end of her contribution, she made mention of it again. Even when he ended his conversation, he had words to use for that. I am happy, blah, 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 blah. A woman date. A woman who sacrificed her life. Because when you're dealing with these kind of things, you know what the possibilities are. She could have stayed home. Everything about the dedication of this woman. You know, these kind of things bother me. And he said myself, I don't see why you've got to come up front all the time. Mm. All the time. And my final thing to you, it's a continuation of the program you had on Sunday.
If this is, you can talk about what we raised on Sunday if you want. You're free to.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, we talked about racism in Barbados and discrimination for the listeners who may not have tuned in on Sunday.
You know, there were things they said on this program that if your mind isn't free, you can never be free. And I was not based for it.
Mm-hmm.
People set me apart for it. Right? You can imagine me in a hot climate. And we walking about in three-piece suits every day trying to look impressive.
Yes.
You can imagine
yeah,
that.
I know.
If I go to Antarctica, am I going to see Eskimo bareback? No. Another thing about English being universal language. Yes, it is a universal, but how did it become that?
Yeah, it's true.
By the Europeans going through the world, invading people's countries, and forcing their beliefs on them. I'm of African descent. That's why I meditate of a cork in a Sprite bottle. Because you pour a cork into a Sprite bottle, it does not mean it's a Sprite. I mean, I talk in terms that any idiot can understand. We are brainwashed. And the first step to freedom is freedom of one's mind. If your mind isn't free, you will forever be free. Listen to Bob Marley's Redemption Song, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves, nobody else can do it.
But you know what I think too, though? I think that freedom is something that is, you have to fight for it every day. So in as much as we may think that we are free, there may still be some more freeing that we need to do. And I think that many of us need to reflect on the extent to which we are indeed freeing our minds. We know we may have a lot more work to do. So we have to keep working on ourselves, I think. I thank you so much for your interventions this morning. Thank you for calling in. Let's take another call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Dr. Ainge.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things here, Dr. Ainge. I'm one of those idiots who seems to understand, according to what the last caller would be saying anyhow. But let me go on. If you watch CBC News on the night, you realize that they give you the public what they want to give the public. They don't always bring the what the public wants to hear, but they portray the news most of the time as rather positive. And the negatives do come up once in the blue moon. Now, yesterday when I listened to the press conference again, the Prime Minister, as usual, went on for a long, long time. And really, truthfully, the time and the length of time she took to speak, that could be said in about 15 to 20 minutes. And to make matters worse, we have to be bombarded by this thing all the time, that we have $2.6 billion, and there's no need to worry, 30 weeks. You know, every time she has to address the nation, this is what I have to sit down and listen to all the time. And it's beginning to get boring now. The other thing is that
I actually enjoy listening to the Prime Minister. I think she's a wonderful orator. She has an excellent way with people. But I am also getting a bit tired of the long press conferences. Sometimes I understand the rationale behind it. There are some people that maybe have not listened to all and need to be reached. But if you are someone who is trying to listen to all of them, as I have been trying to, not always successfully, it does get a little bit tiresome.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, I always knew, had the idea that the 2 weeks, the 14 days, would be a waste of time. And I thought that she would have took it to herself and said, look, these numbers are beginning to increase. I tell you, let the people know that from the early, we are going to shut down this for the 28 days in February. But when you start to shut here, and then you open back here, you know what eventually is going to happen? The same people that you want to get safety precautions, some of them, they'll begin to get restless. Then no money is coming in. And this starts to get on people's nerves. If you come straight and tell us we are going to shut down the month of February, whether it is improved or not, I could live with that. But you won't make your shut it door, you open it. What is going to happen now after 28 days and things still have not improved? You're shut down for another 11 days and then another 11 days? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know what the options are at this point, though.
But my last
because
point,
the cost of reopening in terms of people's lives, right now, these numbers are not under control.
They are not.
So I don't know that we had much of a choice. I heard the Prime Minister say that we can, not necessarily that we can afford it, but it will not make Barbados crumble.
Yeah,
and that's fair enough.
We will lose $150 million. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'm not still impressed with that. Anyhow, I had said from the beginning, shut down the team for the Mount of Ferry. No, here's the other thing.
Okay, go on.
The other thing is this vaccine. And that is something that I don't know. I find it fascinating. On one hand, they tell you that the vaccine will stop you from becoming critically ill. In other words, it will save your life. But yet, on the other hand, the vaccine does not prevent you from infecting other people who are not vaccinated. Now, let's assume now, that's like a scenario here. There are some people who belongs to religious organizations who do not believe in that. So you might have a nurse working on one ward, and she has a friend working on the other ward. One ward, one nurse get vaccinated, the other refuse to take it. What do you think is liable?
What will the outcome?
Yeah, if you are telling me that if you take the vaccine, it still does not prevent you from really spreading the disease.
Well, you know, this is an individual choice everybody needs to make. And because you're a nurse does not mean that you should be forced to take a vaccination or any other form of medical treatment or procedure.
I agree with you.
I think the thing that I understand, and I am not a medical professional, is that once a significant proportion of the population is inoculated, it can help to protect the wider population. So what I would say is those who want to be vaccinated, go and get vaccinated. Those who are unsure and they need to think about it and do their research and talk to who they need to talk to, go and do that so that you can make that determination. Every single person in the country does not need to be vaccinated, but if a critical mass of people receive the vaccine, we are being told that we will have better outcomes in dealing with COVID-19. My understanding is that this is not a cure. And I think that is perhaps a misconception. It's not a cure, but it may help us to deal with COVID-19 better, perhaps to see fewer deaths, and we don't want to see more people dying, and hopefully fewer people who experience severe conditions. But again, this is part of what we need to do. It's not all of it. So for the nurse that doesn't want to get inoculated, that is a determination that that person has to make. They have to measure their risks. But the rest of us also need to make our own decisions.
My message before you go, it means that little child that died will bring the total down to 26, if I'm counting right. You may take out 7 from last year. 7, the minus the 26, you see that we have in something like an average of close to 9 points somebody deaths a month. No, although the month of February is not yet over.
Yeah.
You understand? And that's a very high number. And if that continues to March, I want to see what the Prime Minister is going to do. If she's going to lock it back down to the end of March. That's what I'm interested in saying, though. Anyway, have a nice day.
Thank you for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks.